You're listening to Radio Independent Living, documenting disabled people's struggle for self-determination.
Nothing about us without us. Last week of September 2003, people with disabilities from all over Europe converged on Strasbourg. The idea to march to the European Parliament building. This event formed part of the European initiative towards the promotion of independent living for people with disabilities. The Strasbourg Freedom Drive, as it was called, saw the largest ever number of people with disabilities to converge on the European Parliament. The event is part of a European Network on Independent Living Strategy, as part of the European Year of People with Disabilities. Its aim, to highlight a number of key issues around the services and rights of people with disabilities. Many of these centre around a lack of a cohesive European-wide policy for personal assistance services for people with disabilities, including the basic right to secure such services. Other critical issues being focused on included the need for more effective representation of people with disabilities in European social exclusion strategies, as well as action to address the growing number of people with disabilities being institutionalized, and the significant human rights abuses that many people with disabilities experience.
From Italy.
Yeah.
What are we going to do today?
We're going into the parliament.
Yeah, okay. And what will we do when we get to the parliament?
We ask a directiva, I don't know in English.
Okay, yeah.
We ask a directiva immediately.
Directiva about independent living. Now,
stiamo andando al Parlamento europeo. We are three blind from Italy.
Three blind, one low vision.
Yes. And you're marching to the Parliament to get rights other people with disabilities as well as blind.
Exactly.
Yes.
Grazie.
Okay, prego.
Ciao.
Viva immediatamente per la vita indipendente.
Celia,
yeah?
You're marching along with us today to the Parliament.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Norway.
So you're working here as an assistant?
Yes.
What are you thinking of it now as we go towards the Parliament? What are your feelings on all of this?
I think it's nice that we do it.
Yeah. How many of you from Norway are?
19.
And how did you travel overland to get here?
We took the bus.
Yeah. And how many people with disabilities are in your group?
In my group, six.
And what about people with disabilities in Norway? So how are they treated, people with disabilities?
Because of the organization called Luluba, they're starting to getting treated very well.
Things are improving.
Yeah.
But they still need to improve more.
Yeah, of course.
What about the personal assistance? Is that need to be improved in Norway?
Yeah, I think so. They should have more hours.
Thank you. Tusind tak.
Vær så god.
Martin Yelton, are you the leader of the Irish group here?
Well, I get the blame anyway for it. But I was to link Joe with the European network of independent living. So I'm just the Irish link. This is kind of an action day. And we're going to take days like this over the next number of years. And basically, it's to immediately stop the dilution of independent living and the rights of people with disabilities.
But is there a dilution of it?
Oh, I think there is, definitely. And it's very much now focused on funding. You know, it's very much the tie is money. And we can see that back in Ireland very much. We were promised legislation. Every party in Dáil Éireann promised it. They all signed up to it. That goes right back to 1996. We were all part of the consultation process, and every year it's another curveball they give us, you know, and they get mileage out of it, and it's time that they stopped playing silly games.
Okay, so we're marching, we're demonstrating, it's a day of action to the European Parliament. What are we going to do when we get there, and will they take any notice?
Well, first of all, I think it's a day for ourselves to come together, from people from all over Europe. So there's that part in it as well. It's the unity of disability groups throughout Europe. And this is the start of it. Now, whether they will listen or not, perhaps not. But we also know that next year, you know, next June is the election for members of parliament again. And we might have a say in that, right? As well as that, we are going today. Two of our speakers are asked to address the intergroup in Parliament, right? And that's the group that focuses on disability issues. And they have about 20 minutes between them. And we're expecting about maybe ending up to 160 MEPs to be at that. So all in all, we can but try at this stage. If they don't listen now, perhaps they'd listen soon.
Hello. I'm coming with a group from Spain. In Spain, we've got the same problem. We don't have direct payments. Therefore, Spanish people can't come here because we're stuck in debt. We're stuck in our cities. Les personnes espagnoles ne peuvent pas venir ici parce qu'ils n'ont pas de façon de sortir de leur lit, de façon de sortir de leur vie. Spanish people can't make it here because they've got no way of getting out of their beds or getting out of their cities. So what I see here is not a few people. I see the spirit of millions of people. So the word you want to ici, ce n'est pas seulement un peu de personnes. Je vois l'esprit de beaucoup de personnes, de millions de personnes handicapées de toute la communauté européenne. Lo que yo veo aquí no son unas personas solamente. Yo veo el espíritu de millones de personas. Millones de personas discapacitadas europeas que no tienen derechos. Nuestros derechos están violados cada instante. Notre droit sont violés chaque moment. Our rights are being violated in every single instant. However, what I see is that we will win.
Yes.
We will win one day because of three reasons. Because the light of truth, justice and dignity is on our side.
Yeah.
On va gagner parce que la lumière de la justice, de la dignité et de la vérité, c'est de notre côté. Ganaremos porque la luz de la justicia, de la verdad y de la dignidad está de nuestro lado. Muchas gracias. Yeah.
The next speaker was from Germany.
People with extensive disabilities, that is those who need assistance from other persons in their daily lives, constitute the group with the least education, employment, income and social contacts. The reason is not our lack of physical and intellectual capabilities, but lack of access to mainstream education and training, lack of barrier-free housing in the community, lack of accessible transportation, lack of barrier-free workplaces and reasonable accommodations, lack of personally directed assistance in one's natural living environment, and outright prejudice and discrimination, conditions that force us and keep us in residential institutions and parental homes for lack of acceptable alternatives, rob us of mainstream life and undermine our self-esteem and thus create self-fulfilling prophecies. We believe that individuals who have acquired their disability at an early age are particularly prone to get caught of this self-reinforcing downward spiral. One of the keys for breaking the vicious cycle is personal assistance. An estimated number of 1 million disabled European citizens are warehoused in residential institutions, marginalized and invisible. For this forgotten population, personal assistance is one of the keys for moving back to the community. At the same time, community-based personal assistance policies and programs enable many assistance users to become gainfully employed, allow family members to return to the labor market, and provide numerous employment opportunities for personal assistance.
And the next speaker was from Norway.
This is a really great occasion. I think it's one of the best times in my life. We've come a long way. We have a long way to go. The road is long and the fight will be very, very, very hard. But there is only one outcome of this. We are going to win. Why? Because disabled people are born fighters. We've been fighting all our lives. And we're going to continue to fight until we get our rights. Are we going to win?
Following the march to the European Parliament and the speeches outside, the group then moved on into the Parliament, where they met members of the Intergroups Committee. Two members of the Strasbourg Freedom Drive group were designated to address the Intergroups Committee, John Evans and Anne-Marie Flanagan. In his opening remarks, John Evans said how he and all the members of the Strasbourg Freedom Drive group, who came from many parts of Europe, were delighted to be in the Parliament. He asked the question, why are we here?
As a representative European organisation of disabled people who need independent living and personal assistance, we felt it was important to bring these issues to the European Parliament at this time. We are a human rights grassroots organisation who are very much in touch with the needs and wishes of disabled people in all our countries and feel that the 8 key demands that we are bringing here are the very much current wishes of what disabled people are demanding in all our countries. First of all, let me just define what personal assistance is, because I'm sure people are beginning to wonder what that is already. Personal assistance is very important. Personal assistance, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now if I didn't have my personal assistance. In other words, it's all the help, the support, and the assistance that I need in my life in order that I can be like everybody else and live like everybody else. So it's that support I require to be able to do what I need to do. And most of us, most of the disabled people that have come here, have come with that kind of support. So personal assistance is something that we want to be made available throughout the whole of Europe. Our 18 demands, let's look at personal assistance a little bit closer. We believe that the availability of personal assistance services is long overdue, as there are still many countries within the European Union who still do not have established and effective personal assistance services for their own disabled people. We felt that this issue was very pertinent this year, as it is the European Year for Disabled People, and it became one of our organisation's aims for this current year. As personal assistance services are essential in enabling disabled people to live independently, we felt it was good to follow on from the two declarations that have recently come out, the Madrid Declaration and the Tenerife Declaration, that are calling for independent living to be taken more seriously. We feel now it is important to build upon this recognition from these two declarations that have both come out within the last 14 months. And we also think that our 8 key demands that we are bringing here to the European Parliament fall well within both of those declarations.
John Evans then went on to say that as we speak, there are many people with disabilities disenfranchised because they live in institutions. We believe, he said, that the self-determination and independent living should be a basic right for people with disabilities. He continued.
The opportunities to live independently provide the same alternative to institutionalisation, which is both healthier and also more economic for the individual and for the state. As institutionalisation is part of the current framework of the social exclusion policies of the European Union, it makes common sense for the European Union to support independent living in the community as a viable alternative to disabled people being incarcerated in institutions. As long as institutions exist, the spectre of disabled people finally ending up in one is a fear that haunts most disabled people throughout our lives. None of us can be casual or relaxed when we know that still exists. Institutional life denies a person real citizenship and participation in the community. It also takes away one's freedom. For those disabled people who have already experienced institutional living and have tasted that reality and the loss of control of the basic decisions of their lives, know only too well that it's a large price to pay.
John went on to say that as I speak, I shiver at the thought that right now, at this moment in time, there are thousands of people with disabilities living in institutions throughout the whole of Europe. I dread to think, he said, what the exact numbers of people with disabilities are in institutions. It touches me deeply, especially as I have experienced personally some years in an institution. Over 20 years ago, but I was one of the lucky ones, John said. I managed to find a way out and pioneered independent living in my own country. Let's just look at some of the basic human rights that are denied those people with disabilities living in institutions, he said. They are denied the right to have decisions about their own lives, when they get up in the morning, when they go to bed. They are denied the right to what they eat in the daytime. They are denied the right to have their own personal assistance. They are denied the right even for the opportunity sometimes to go to the toilet. This is part of the daily reality of people with disabilities living in institutions. John Evans then went on.
They don't have the right to basic services, decent housing, and even sometimes their own money, their own pocket money, or the money they might receive, the benefits they receive from the state, are held in the offices of the administration of those institutions. This paints a bleak and gloomy picture, which makes one realise why disabled people are fearful over the spectre of ending up in such places. And this is even without touching upon some of the bad that they also might experience by living there, like physical, psychological, and even sometimes sexual abuse. Disabled people find themselves victims of a system that disenfranchises them and keeps them at the poverty level, dependent on benefits, lacking opportunities, employment and training, and further isolated in their own communities because of inaccessible public transport systems. From a social perspective, much of it stems from bad social policy planning But the root cause is often fear, ignorance, and a poor attitude to including disabled people in the mainstream of life. There is a lack of commitment both by the European Union and national and local governments to address this problem seriously. We have to move beyond the world of rhetoric, but it's just written down. We need things put into practice. This is clearly indicated in many instances where disabled people and their representative organisations are even excluded from any real involvement in the planning and development of appropriate services in their own regions or countries. There is still a problem of fully understanding what real consultation and user participation is all about. It is, however, neglected at their peril, but disabled people will be there, and we will be constantly reminding the authorities that we need to be included. So any social inclusion policy should include us, and we won't let people forget that. Another right we have in our demands to personal assistance is also the fact that we, when we talk about personal assistance services, it's not just to disabled people, wheelchair users, but it's to all kinds of disabled people, people with mental health backgrounds, people with learning disabilities or intellectual disabilities, as they sometimes refer to in Europe, and more important, as important right now, with an aging population, to older people. There are some interesting independent living schemes now being pioneered, and as a project that Enil is involved with that has pilot schemes in trying to develop independent living for older people in Spain, Italy, and in Greece. The promotion of independent living, or the implementation of the philosophy of independent living, I think is also important. Independent living has been the catalyst, really, for the struggle for our human rights by disabled people. It has provided us with a framework with which we can both challenge and monitor the structures of our society. Independent living touches upon the nerve fibers of everything we do in our everyday lives. This is why it is so important, highlighting our needs and aspirations, and at the same time, it significantly provides us with a direction and a purpose to progress our overall movement and our own individual lives. Independent living has provided us with many answers and solutions to the problems of discrimination that we face. It's become the blueprint for survival and liberation for many of us. Through the philosophy and practice of independent living, disabled people have been able to regain more control and power over our lives. We have been able to organize and develop our own organizations, and at the same time operate more control and choice over our lifestyles by setting up our own personal assistance services. We encourage the European Union to support the implementation of the independent living philosophy.
The second speaker to address the intergroups was Anne-Marie Flanagan. She began by saying, when we established the independent living movement nearly 35 years ago, which originated from disabled people in Berkeley, California, we identified the necessary support that would enable us to achieve independent living. She continued.
These include personal assistance, assistive technology, place of our choice to live, together with the right to education, employment and family life. There are thousands of disabled people around the world who can bear personal testimony to the ideology and the reality that is independent living, and we are some of those people here today. The distressing element in all of this is the fact that there are as many more disabled people incarcerated in institutions in your countries, without choice and without any guarantee of ever leaving these places, as there were before the independent living movement began. By institutions, we mean all closed spaces where decisions are made about the person by the organisation providing the service. These include residential care, long-term stay hospital settings, daycare centres, training centres and sheltered employment. We cannot impress upon you enough the absolute violation of human rights that occur when a person is, without choice, placed in these institutions. Further violation occurs when young, disabled people are forced to live in residential settings set up for older people who are often coming to the end of their lives. An example of this in Ireland is the reality of the Maguire brothers, who are both in their early 30s. They're forced to live in a hospice in Clare. Both brothers have publicly expressed their desire to share a home and live together with the support of personal assistance. But due to the lack of their civil and human rights, there does not seem to appear to be an outcome that will enable them to live the choice of life with dignity. The life-changing experience of having personal assistance services and being in a position to make personal life choices is not valued, it's not accepted, or indeed understood in Europe and in our member states. This is evident by the lack of policies and legislation that gives a right to independent living services such as direct payments. It's evident by the number of people who are on a daily basis being placed in residential care and the increasing number of family members who seek carer's allowance or the equivalent, to mention but a few. In the past, when we were spoken about by states and service providers, it was in the context of needing to be fed, to be dressed, to be toileted. Now, when we talk about services, we do so in the context of going to university, getting married, having children, being promoted, having a political career, and all that is entailed in being an equal citizen and the rights and responsibilities that are inherent in that. It is vital that we in the independent living movement continually promote the appropriate implementation of the philosophy of independent living. To achieve this, we are asking you to critically analyse the disability sector. We need you to do this so that you can differentiate the difference between independent living and other traditional dependency-led services. Some of the indicators in differentiating them between them can be measured by looking at the power structures and the decision makers of those services. You might ask, are disabled people developing, managing and monitoring our own services? You might also ask, does the service provide personal choice and control for the service user? If the answer to the questions is no, then it is not what we mean by independent living. One of the actions taken by the independent living movement through 8 countries is to develop a centre of excellence on the philosophy of independent living. We now have secured funding to do this. We have 12 months in which to produce criteria and standards to define independent living. I think Germany will be coordinating this initiative. The results of this will be the template of measuring what is true independent living as determined by us in the movement. On completion of this piece of work, we need all members of the European Parliament to endorse it and to ensure that it is the only measuring tool under which funding, resources and legislation is decided on. We can guarantee you that if existing resources, which are currently being spent on non-independent living services, are redistributed, then very little extra money will be needed to achieve full independent living for everybody. Let me say once more, we are the only people who can determine the appropriate response to our full and equal participation in society. The international independent living movement is about all disabled people from all states of all countries. I ask you all on behalf of everybody here and all other disabled people to actively hear what is being said today, but more importantly, to believe us when we say we know best what will enable us to achieve full, active and participative citizenship. If you only take away one message today, let it be nothing about us without us.
The documentary you've been listening to was produced by Joe Bollard Dublin.